Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back, boys. How was your holiday?
Sickness and RSV.
Yeah, I got right now, my granddaughter came with pink eye for the week. I have been so sick the last 2 days. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting that myself right now. But what a great holiday it was. What a great holiday party it was. We really appreciate everybody coming. That was a lot of fun. And it just seems to get, it's big every year. I'm wondering, when is it? I think I told Todd this. I'm like, when is it going to slow down? And it doesn't. Everybody just loves to come to that party, drink, enjoy, celebrate the year of the show, I just love it. Thanks to Nick, and thanks to everybody who came out. Next year, make a point of it. Come on out and hang out with us. We have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of chugging going on. Everybody getting into the Christmas spirit. I don't think there is a better way to start off your holiday. Yeah, Hockley Dan says, damn, John, you look rough. I am feeling rough, Hockley Dan. Really, really rough, Hockley Dan. I'm going to be fighting through this one, the whole show, that maybe in the next couple of days. So we're going to play What Did You Learn This Holiday Season in One Sentence at 7:45. So make sure that you get all of that ready. What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? I've got one question for you guys. Was it targeting or not targeting?
Yeah, but you know what? If we think Trevor Lawrence's, the hit on Trevor Lawrence, which started right there at the very top of the shoulder pads and then extended all the way through the neck and head, was targeting, which it was on Azeez Al-Shaair, then I didn't see a big difference between that and what happened with Isaiah Bond. I thought Isaiah Bond got hit with a really high shot that followed through all the way to the head. I thought that was targeting on the interception. But of course,
of course
the other one had helmet. Now, I didn't think he launched, but it's helmet it's my understanding it's helmet to helmet on defenseless receiver.
That's
so I
exactly
thought both
it
of
was
them were
too.
Targeting. And
all right, just so the answer to you is Isaiah Bond should have been called.
If Isaiah Bond is called,
it's still going to be their ball because he had intercepted the ball before Isaiah Bond got hit.
I think. While technically he did, they may have considered that the same play. I saw a discussion about this online, how the assumption is it would be an after the penalty, but it's considered on the same play.
Right.
Like, well, even though it didn't have an impact with the interception.
Well, he didn't use the crown of his helmet, one thing. It was an offensive receiver, obviously.
I mean, which one are you talking
about? The Isaiah Bond one. He didn't use the crown of his helmet. He hit him with the shoulder.
Yeah,
and
but
not,
he followed he through him. Up into the neck.
Yep, right. But I certainly can see that one. Dell, targeting or no targeting?
It's targeting. If we're going by the rule, that's targeting. I'm not sure why there's a debate about it.
There shouldn't be a debate about it.
I don't know how he came up with that. Even the referee in the booth I mean, everyone that I've seen, but you hate the Longhorns if you think it was targeting. You hate them.
Or you just know. Well, you think you know what the rule is, so you say that's targeting.
Yeah, I thought both of them were targeting, period, and neither one of them got called. Now, you don't know the rules if you thought Cam Scataboo or Scataboo. I don't know if it's
Scataboo.
Everyone says Scataboo, but it's only 1-0.
Well, I know, but it's Scataboo. But that's the
okay.
His name.
If you think that was an offensive pass interference, you don't know the rules because Cam had the defensive back stacked, and we're talking about on that long pass. He had the DB stacked. The player in position has a right to go back to the football at any point, which is why the underthrow pass interference is such a deadly play, because the cornerback almost has no, there's almost nothing he can do about it. He went back and he slowed his, he changed his pace, created contact by changing his pace, which is completely legal. That's not an offense pass interference. A lot of fans didn't have any idea. That's why it wasn't called. Now, it shouldn't have been a defensive pass interference either. But they do call defensive pass interference when you work back to the ball and the corner's just trying to, you know, run forward, and all of a sudden it's like when you get hit from behind. If you stop suddenly, guess what? The guy who hit you is the one in insurance that gets in trouble, even though you would think, well, that's not my fault. The guy just stopped abruptly. But if you hit the person from behind, you're in trouble with insurance, you're in trouble with police, and you are the one who get the defensive pass interference penalty.
Right. Okay, so what do we think of Texas after that game?
Same thing I thought before. Not just the quarterback has no juice, scared. Texas looked like they were about to crap the bed at any point yesterday. Terrible pre-snap penalties. I mean, they have way more talent than Arizona State, way more talent across the board. And they look like a team that was playing not to lose. And that includes Sark, by the way. Sark continues to... Now, they got some offensive line injuries that are really tough because they couldn't run the football. Yeah. But you see, I mean, if Quinn Ewers... we're at the point now where Quinn's got to go back, transfer, get a big paycheck, and then hit reset on his draft status. Because this is just...
I thought
this
you
guy
said
is showing
doing.
Up
said
in the smallest...
That.
Like, he's so small in the biggest moments. The
you two said Georgia he wasn't
games,
doing
and that.
That
wasn't a good game for Quinn Ewers yesterday. Make no mistake. I don't care what Sark said after the game. Like, this guy just such a, you know, just so much poise and so much. Quinn Ewers was not good again.
He made some good throws, but obviously there was so much time. They didn't score a touchdown for like 2.5 quarters. But you said he's not going to another college. You said you talked to his agent. He said he's not going.
His agent says he's not. He says he's going to Seattle or the Rams in the first round. But I'm just telling you. I mean, I would never draft him in the first round.
No.
Never, ever. And I probably wouldn't take him in a second round, honestly. I don't think he has winning DNA. So, I mean, if a guy can't win for you, there's really no round you should take him in unless he's a backup. You should never take a guy to start, because then you're going to get stuck with a guy for 2 or 3 years. Yeah. There's no reason to, and I just think right now I need to see so much more. Carson Beck's coming out. What a dumb move from that Georgia quarterback. Go back and get $5 million somewhere, and then go back into the draft. Yeah, what's the point? You have free agency every year now. College football is turning into a joke. I mean, it's just the Premier League. Go let Oregon give you $5 million and then try the draft. But these two guys had bad years headed into the draft.
Yeah. Yep. What do we think of Ohio State now?
Oh, my Del? God. Michigan just pissed everybody off now.
Oh, Michigan pissed off Ohio State.
Yeah.
This is the team that everyone thought they were coming into the year. This was considered the unquestioned most talented roster in all college football. They paid for it. They paid for an OC to harness it, and they look like it. And Jeremiah Smith, man, he's a freshman. He's a giant. He looks like a second-year player in the NFL. He looks like a guy who's a man amongst boys. And Ryan Williams got all the talk early because of what he did against Georgia. But if we're talking about pro prospects, what that guy did yesterday, the size, the speed, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams is 17. He'll grow into his body. Jeremiah Smith's 18, a grown man right now, playing football on the college level.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. Ryan Williams or him?
Nah, Jeremiah. He'd take the bigger guy every time. And he's, you know, the two comps, my comp on him is Julio Jones. Jeremiah brought up, Matt Miller brought up Nico Collins. Daniel Jeremiah brought up Andre Johnson. I mean.
That was his idol. South Florida kid.
It was at Andre Johnson. Yeah. You can see some of that in his game, too. Julio and Andre, based on size and speed and physicality, is who he reminds me of. And this is a freshman. I mean, he's going to test whether or not a wide receiver can go one when he comes out, because he's just so special.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good set of games. As unfortunately marred. Well, it wasn't a good set of games. The second game, the playoffs in general were a bust in terms of quality of games. The Penn State, you know, what a joke with the seeding that Penn State has it this easy. They're one of the favorites to get to win a national. They're the third favorite now, and they were before the Ohio State Oregon matchup, because that winner, Ohio State, now plays Texas. I think Texas is in major trouble. I haven't seen Texas play well enough this year to beat that Ohio State, like not even to stay in the game, not even stay in the field. At what point, what's the best Texas game you can find this year? It wasn't A&M. It wasn't either of the Georgia games. Show me a Texas game that was good enough. Florida, I guess, where Florida didn't have their quarterback. I guess when Jalen Rashada was out for Florida, that's the best Longhorn game I saw. DJ Lagway. Yeah, not Jalen Rashada. DJ Lagway. And then, is that the best that Texas played this year?
Against E.J. Warner? We're going to give them credit for that?
Well, I'm trying to think of the best Longhorn game I can. I can't think of one. I've just watched Tennessee and Oregon get mud hole stomped in them by Oregon State. I mean, by Ohio State. Mud hole stomped.
Both of them.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't even close. By the first half, the game was over in both of them.
Well, that was a trend all quarterfinal long. You mentioned marred because we didn't get the final one. Well, that one will be played today. The teams who hadn't played since championship week started off really poorly. Just go through the games. Boise State was down early. They got back into it in the third quarter, and then Penn State ran away from it. We saw what happened. Oregon, Ohio State. Texas got up early on Arizona State, and they fought to come back. And so the quarterfinals have been marred, or it's shown that maybe having all that time off doesn't help you, at least early. All those teams, the bye teams lost, no matter what you thought of them, they got off the bad starts. Maybe it says something about continuing to play and not having, at that point, the championship game weekend was December 7th, so those teams hadn't played in over 3 weeks. And it looked like it once those games started.
Yep. All right. We got Texans to talk on the other side, and they look good, bro. While we were gone, holy crap, things just came together. Mm-hmm. Well, we did find something out that we hadn't heard before we went on break. So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, a little underdog.
Yeah, Underdog Fantasy's been treating me well. You know, college football, you have a college football pick 'em as well. Ryan Williams yesterday went higher than Ryan Williams. So his number was something like 78.5, and I went higher, but I changed it up to 94, and you got the multiplier goes even higher, so you have a chance to make even more. Had higher than, so 1.5 touchdowns was Will Howard, the quarterback at Ohio State. I moved it up to 2.5 because I thought he'd have 3 touchdown passes or more. Went higher. That multiplier went higher as well. You make even more. All these college football games, playoff games, you can play the Pick'em Challenge on that one, the games that you're watching. As I've been telling you, you're watching along with the game, play along with the game. Whether it's NBA basketball, college basketball, this college football, whatever the sport, of course, NFL football, you've got opportunities to make picks. You go higher or lower. You put together anywhere between 2 and usually 6. But I'm telling you right now, you're going 1,000 times your original play is the highest you can go. And they've got a free pick and up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you sign up. But you got to use the promo code Lance. But I'm telling you, with these boosters they're putting in your lobby and these discounted picks, it's never been easier to make money than with Underdog Fantasy right now. Go use promo code Lance and sign up today on your first deposit. A free pick and up to $1,000 in bonus cash available to you. Must be 18 or older and present in state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You sound crap. You sound like legit. So, you know, when I was at the Christmas party, it turns out I probably had RSV. I didn't know this. I'd never even. This is like something they've invented the last 2 years, I think, because I only started hearing about it.
I don't even know what that is.
It's. this cough is part of it. It's a respiratory virus.
Whoa.
And it can be dangerous. But, you know, remember I did the show from. Before I went out of town to Savannah, I did the show, my last show at home, because I wasn't starting to feel not great. Snacks had this bad cough and a fever or whatever. And then I came back and did the Christmas show, even though I didn't really feel that great in Savannah. I had this really bad cough. I still have the cough. It's literally the exact same. It's the exact same. So y'all better be on the lookout for this sucker, because now I don't have any fever. And I felt really fatigued and gassed for about, like, it was like having COVID. And the upper, the stuff you have in your upper, you know, in your nasal and your cold and stuff like that, that's that was what I had. I had that, too, for about 6 or 7 days. Now it's a relentless cough that cannot be stopped. Abigail came in. I was working up here yesterday, and Abigail came in. She goes, are you sick? That's, you know, your cough is really bad. I'm like, yeah, this is nothing. I have to eat Fisherman's Secret menthol cough drops at night. I have to keep them in my mouth throughout the night just so I can actually sleep. So you may be in for a rough ride, buddy. This may be well, whipping your ass for a while.
On top of everything, Charlie gave me pink eye.
Well, good.
On top of everything else, pink eye. I got pink eye too. No, this is it's bad. I'm getting up Z pack. I'll be done. I'll be good.
So the both of you are dying is what I'm hearing.
Well, that's what 2025, we're bringing it in, Del. Mm. 2025 starting with
it's
a bang.
Funny. Gilbert's online. He predicted Lance's death in 27. Maybe he's two years
I honestly think he's on track. Based on how everything has gone, I feel like Gilbert's tracking right now.
Okay, so while we were gone, the Texans lost 31-2.
But it wasn't that close.
No, it was a lot worse than that. It was a lot worse.
Well, it wasn't that close. I mean, they didn't score an offensive point. I mean,
yeah, but it was worse than 29 points.
No, it was worse. Than 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was worse.
It was more like a 37-point loss.
It could have been 54-2. You know.
In fact, I said this on Twitter, it felt more embarrassing to have two.
Yeah, it's more embarrassing.
Like, I'd have rather been shut out.
Like two? How did they get? Oh, safety. That's
they had a score gami. They had what's called a score gami. It had never happened in NFL history.
It's better for it to be 31-0 than it is 31-2. Because it just.
It really was.
It just highlights how bad you were offensively.
Two makes you look like a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, what a loser. Two?
Right. Like, Canuto.
Canuto Contente. He's content to be a jerk. But it was a score. It's called a score gami, where no score. That score has never happened in NFL history. It was the first time. 31-2.
And they looked. I don't know how they could possibly look worse. Afterwards, CJ was asked about, you know, why he's not throwing the ball as well. And he said, well, I'm hurt. And it was like, what? This is the first I've heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
First we said, and then he said, oh, no, I'm not blaming it. No excuses. That's not it. I'm playing bad, blah, 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 blah. But apparently he does have some kind of a shoulder issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the point of this week. Nothing to play for. But I'll tell you this. I did something over the break for Athlon Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And asked whether or not they have to play, whether or not, what do? Rest the starters? And absolutely not. You cannot rest the starters.
You can't?
You cannot. You cannot rest
the starters. Well, it's not working with them playing.
Here's the deal. You got to get into a groove. You have got to make this thing better. Sitting for 2 weeks is not going to make this thing. 2.5 weeks is not going to make you a better football
player. So I heard yesterday that CJ's got, I guess, AC joint. If that's the case, CJ can't play. He has to sit. If CJ is not 100%, he's got to sit. And I know what you're saying, and I'm good with trying to get in a rhythm. If he's got an injury that's not healing, you're not going to get in a rhythm. He hasn't been close to a rhythm at any point this season. If there's an injury, he's got to sit. I mean, him. I don't know about everyone else playing, but I just don't think I could. I just don't think I – because you're not going to have a bye week in the playoffs. So, for me, CJ, getting him at 100%, wouldn't it make sense if he had an issue with an AC joint in his shoulder? Like, that wouldn't that make sense with what we're seeing?
The passes that he threw the other day.
Mm-hmm. It was his worst game.
It was by far his worst game.
It was his worst game. He was awful.
Yeah.
And I'd rather live in a world where CJ is hurt, and that's the reason he's playing like that.
I'd much rather it be, but this came out of nowhere.
It's the first time we know of it.
Yes, the first time that anybody said anything about it. It makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but he's still throwing the ball long badly. He's throwing the ball short badly. He's throwing everything badly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's protecting that shoulder. You're right. If he's got a sprained AC joint, he does have to sit.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to sit. And he needs to get that better.
He needs to shut it
but
down
you know
and get
what?
Davis
the
Mills
rest
rolling.
Of the team, the rest
Davis
of the
Mills
guys
is a qualified play. Winner. Let's get Davis Mills back in action here. Pump up his draft value. Move him. This is a bad quarterback draft.
You guys
have been
talking about the Davis Mills value for how long now?
Trying to sell it, baby.
You've been trying to pump hey, up Mills'
we're trying
value
to move Jalen Green to you. Actually, I don't want Jimmy Butler, but we'll get to that later, too.
We already saw who the best shooting guard in that for those two teams is.
Well, I never thought it was Jalen Green, honestly. Yeah, but
we already seen the best. I mean, he did get tossed like a rag doll, but we did see who the best shooting guard is.
How embarrassing is that for Tyler Hero?
Oh, you mean to go 27-9-6 on your head? Yeah,
yeah,
very embarrassing.
On your head.
And then
yeah,
followed
while
up
you're
with,
getting tossed
and
around
then followed
like a rag
up
doll.
With,
he didn't look like he'd get tossed around like a rag doll.
Yeah,
he looks like a rag doll.
Oh, no, I'm in Thompson, toss Tyler Hero around. I don't think anyone looks at Tyler
he's a
Hero
huge
and goes,
favorite.
Tough guy. No one's looking at him like that. Everyone thinks they can toss him around, and Amen Thompson just proved
it. Because you can.
It. Yes. Thanks, Amen.
Let's hear from – how about Tyler Hero's response to Amen tossing him around? It was – I mean, this guy – is he white – is he the new white chocolate?
No.
No?
No.
You know, he doesn't have the kind of handles.
No, you know what I've learned over my years of watching the NBA – nothing general NBA fan hates more than white guy they think who's trying to be black.
Yeah, it is. It is. It does make them mad.
You guys, the general NBA fan can't stand it.
And listen to Tyler Hero's response about getting tossed around by Amen.
You and Thompson exchanging words. How did it all really kind of spark off there?
Just two competitors going at it, playing basketball.
And then it got a little out of hand. It's not every single night that you have all those texts and all of those ejections. Was it building to that, or was it just a standard physical game that just had one of those igniting moments?
Just a physical game. I guess that's what happens when someone's scoring, throwing dimes, doing the whole thing. So I get mad, too.
Scoring, throwing dimes.
I bet you love him if you're at Miami, just because he's such a. He's got kind of a rat thing, but it's probably unfortunate you make it a racial thing, just because. I mean, culturally, a lot of these guys now, just that's who they grow up. It's a culture they grow up in from the time they're very, very young, especially if they play AAU basketball at an early age. They'll really hate Tyler Hero's girlfriend if they hate Tyler Hero. You won't like the fact that that's his girl either.
No, you probably will not. Katja, I think is her name. Probably will
I don't
not.
Hate him for it.
No, but you don't hate. But you don't hate Tyler Hero. But let's be honest. I hate him now. There was never a world where Tyler Hero wasn't going to get tossed to the ground if it came to a judo match between him and Amen Green. Amen, by the way, missed yesterday. Amen Thompson.
Yeah, the Rockets did win last night, but Amen Thompson did not play.
Yeah, Amen didn't play. Tari Eason didn't play. We're on the Tari can't always play move, which, you know, is kind of going to be a thing probably his whole career. And,
Cam Whitmore played.
Cam Whitmore played great.
He was pissed off
you
about it,
You couldn't tell
too.
After the game.
He wasn't happy about how he played.
No, I think he wasn't happy about his about – at least according to him, we'll play it. He didn't believe that anything he does can help him as far as getting in this rotation.
Dude, he balled yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He was great. But and here he is after a win where he played maybe his best game as a pro.
In a long time, for sure.
Here he is, just pissed off.
Done enough to show that you deserve a consistent role and consistent enough in this
game? No.
What more do you think you need to do?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I have a lot of question marks for myself, just as you guys too. But, I have no idea. I don't know what other things I can do.
I mean, was this the most predictable thing in the world? We've been talking about this from the day Reed Shepherd was drafted. There was never going to be a world where Cam Whitmore is going to be happy with the Houston Rockets. Because his and Reed Shepard's not even playing. Reed has really gone in the tank. Reed's not even playing, and Cam's still pissed off, even though he's getting those minutes off
well,
the bench.
Cam's been the yo-yo, though. That's why.
Yeah, probably so.
Don't no one like being sent to Rio Grande?
Nah, that's not fun.
You think Cam Whitmore, when he got drafted, he thought he could spend so much time down there?
He ain't
no
about
chance.
Viper ball.
No chance.
He ain't about both.
Yeah, it was about a minute 40 of him, and the reporters, hey, Cam, great game. You beat the Mavericks. And they're like, wait a minute. What is this? It was they were surprised initially by his first response because he was asked about he was asked about a role and is this game going to lead to anything? He goes, yeah, probably not.
Like, yeah, hey, Cam. His frustration is exactly what we expected. Yeah. Honestly, John, we've talked about this. We knew what was coming with Cam Whitmore. He was not going to be happy. I don't think he's long-term going to be a Houston Rocket because he's not going to be happy with his time. He could be. So the rumor out there, and the one that is interesting to me, is potentially De'Aaron Fox being on the market for a Jalen Green package. I would 100% take a look at that. Because De'Aaron Fox then becomes your one of the future. You can play him at the two right now. You can still get Fred VanVleet his minutes. To me, that's a move that I think upgrades the roster. Now, I don't know the entirety of the trade. I'm assuming it would be something like Jalen, Reed Shepherd, and a draft pick. I'm assuming that it would look something like that. It might look like, it might look like they throw in another player. They get Jayshon Tate. It could be. But the primary, if we're talking De'Aaron Fox for Jalen Green, and then you don't have to give up Tari or Amen Thompson at all, which you shouldn't have to. I'll just be honest. I'm in on that. I mean, we've just got this backcourt is just way too inefficient. Just way too inefficient.
Well, it's Fred VanVleet. I mean, the other night when they lost that lead, they were up 106-90 to Minnesota with under 5 minutes to play. They made one basket in the last 5 minutes, and Fred is throwing up the – I mean, I got into a Twitter argument with a guy about this. Fred VanVleet has been – and Amen loves him. Ime loves him. He has him on the court. He's talked about the leadership. But he is a liability offensively. He has been so piss poor offensively for a $40 million player. I don't know how you could possibly get out of this thing. You don't think, there's no way anybody picks up that contract for less than this contract.
Well, it's an option. There's nothing left on it.
Well,
this year.
No, even the rest of this season. $20 million from Fred VanVleet.
Yeah. I could see somebody if they had money for it. I could see them doing it based on. But you'd have to be a team that. Look, when Fred's good, Fred can have really big games. The problem is he's had really good and really terrible games. And I would love it if Fred had fewer big games and just more average games. That would
average.
Be awesome.
Yeah,
but he has atrocious and he won't stop shooting. For God's sake, Fred, you don't have to shoot 17 to 19 times a game.
And
it's not in your contract.
And Ime loves him. He won't take him off the court.
He played in his last three. He played 42 last night. Was a 1-for-8, so he did limit the shots. Scored 5 points against the Heat. Played 38 minutes, 6-17. Against the Wolves, 39 minutes, 6-16. So shots and inefficiency does not matter when it comes to Fred and playing time. Others, Cam Whitmore might be upset probably less about Fred. Jalen was good early, not great later in the game when it didn't matter. The Rockets had a big enough lead last night. He's looking at the current starting two guard and going, wait a minute. I can't eat into his minutes? Like, I know. I like that guy, but why is Jalen Green sainted to get 30 minutes a night? If Cam Whitmore's looking at the roster and going, this backcourt kind of stinks, why am I the one getting punished?
Yeah. All right. Still ahead in 15 minutes. What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? You got ship talk? You got any ship talk, though?
Well, I'm sure. I didn't know it was a Thursday thing, but I can find audio. There's plenty
of things
that
will
set.
Be. Yeah. And we got to find a limo, a contestant for the limo for the Warehouse Live guy. I got him. Yeah, I think we're gonna continue to do it. Yeah, I think he said he wanted to do it, so we'll do that tomorrow. But right now, Allstate Windows and Siding.
AllstateWindowsandSiding.com is an easy way to get to a company that is going to make your home cooler. Well, cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter. If you start having to breeze, if you can feel it getting drafty and cold, we're getting ready to get down into the low 30s. Later this week, there's going to be a big rainstorm. Front's going to come in. It's going to get in the low 30s. You're going to know. You'll probably know right now if you've got a breezy window. If you do, that means it's not sealed properly. My friends at Allstate Windows and Siding, they come in, and they've got windows that are made here in Texas. They're not made in China. They're made in Texas with great materials, and they're made for our weather, which is, you know, pretty extreme in different directions. And whether you want a window that's strong enough to withstand that hurricane strength windows that hit us this far off the coast, or maybe you want something that's just sealed properly that gives you the type of ability to keep your air conditioner or your heater in your home so you're more comfortable, this is going to be your opportunity to have efficiency, also have something that looks great. It's a big upgrade for your home. And on top of that, they've got siding jobs where they're giving you massive discounts right now when you get your entire home sided get siding on your entire home with Allstate Windows and Siding. Years and years here in the business in Houston, family owned and family operated. Their name means something to them, and their quality is off the charts. It's AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, I'm watching Dan Orlovsky break down the swing pass that they threw to Mixon, and Schultz is out in front of him when they're trying to score when it was 31-2 late in the game. They're on the 5-yard line. They're on the Ravens 5-yard line. And he throws a swing pass. And Dan Orlovsky is blaming poor pass protection, the residual effect of poor pass protection. He had fine protection there. And I'm looking, and somebody else is breaking down that one pass where he drops back. He's got a perfect pocket, and Dalton Schultz breaks out late, and CJ just misses him. And it's Bobby Slowick's fault. When are we going to, and I'm he's catching it, I know he's catching it some. Where is the breakdown of where CJ is between Bobby Slowick, the offensive line, the wide receiver injuries, and CJ?
Yeah, that's a really fair question, and I think there are, just based on my interactions online and reading stuff, there are people who have come around. It took a long time, but look, none of us want to. It doesn't mean we're haters or we don't want CJ. Like, you know, we were mentioning early in the year, something seems a little off about CJ because you could sense it. You know, I watched him in college a ton, and in the pros, you know, I just saw one thing that never waned was when he had what I call an everyday throw, just from point A to point B. It's always on the hands. It's always on target. It's always accurate. And he wasn't doing that this year. And I thought, well, this is – and that was early in the year, probably before any kind of injury. And I just thought, well, that was – well, something's just a little bit off about CJ. And it got worse and worse and worse. And there are some people who have, you know, made it their narrative that it's Slowick or bust, and that's going to be it. But, you know, you can be disappointed with Slowick and think that CJ's having a bad year and think that the protection is not great. Like, it can be all of those things, John. But when you do that, you have to say offensive line needs to be better. Slowick needs to be better. CJ's got to play better. And that's where I am. All of those things, yeah. All of those things need to be better. And yeah. Last year, with a rookie in Tank and a second year or a third year guy in Nico, he had a terrific year and a beat-up offensive line. This year, I think the pass protection was much better the other day. I didn't think it was a massive problem.
He had his worst game ever.
And it was his worst game, yeah. And his it was and the protection, it wasn't like his protection was awful. He had time to throw. Even when he had lots of time to throw, he just – it's concerning. At this point, I'm a little bit concerned. I'll be honest. For the first time – I'm a little concerned, and I want him to be injured because then at least I have an excuse.
And it's not just because of the shoulder, because like you said, this has been going on a long time. This has been going on most the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shoulder, I don't know if it's relatively, I don't know when he got banged up with the shoulder. Maybe it has been all season long. I don't know. But he's made some good throws. He's just not the same guy. And you know what? The offensive line can take its part of the blame. Bobby Slowick can take his part of the blame. And CJ needs to take his part of the blame.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, it doesn't help. It doesn't help that you lost Diggs and Tank.
But you know what, though? Through this whole thing, and this is what some of the people who are just so, I mean, just cannot let you say a thing about CJ because they think that he is either their best friend or that they want to have a relationship with him. The thing that I find interesting is that CJ's telling you he's playing poorly. Like, you guys are defending a guy who's telling you, man, I'm playing bad. I got to play better. CJ's telling you that. What are you? You're dying on a hill that CJ's not dying on. CJ will be the first one to take responsibility. And that's something I want to point out is when we have these discussions, I know which camp CJ Stroud's in. He knows he's got to play better. This guy's a very accountable. He's always been accountable. I don't think it's just words. He's an accountable player. And then when the injury stuff came up, look how quickly he got away from that. Just like a veteran quarterback who, or a pitcher, you know what I mean, who doesn't want to let you know they don't want to make excuses. He's got the soul of a veteran player. He's got the professionalism, I think, from what I can tell, of a veteran player. And he's not making excuses. So it's strange to hear so many people making excuses for him because you can think the offense coordinator needs to go, and you can also think CJ's not playing well. You can think both.
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's what I think. We we got a break. What did you learn this holiday season? In one sentence. We're going to play that game. So call in now, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? We'll play it again on Monday because we've got the weekend still ahead. But we're playing it now. 713-780-3776. As soon as somebody gets off, you get in. What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? Right now I'm talking about HRP. HRP is the way that you get your payroll to your people. It's awfully important that you do this well, especially if you have a bigger company. If you have a bigger company, you know, this can be a major expense for you. Why make it a major expense? Why make it a huge payroll department, a huge HR department, when you've got HRP that can handle both of all of that and do it a lot more efficiently than you can? You are not payroll experts. You're not HR experts. You're not tax experts. Whatever it is that you do, your business does, okay? Do it. Do what you do. And let HRP do what they do. Find out. Listen, it doesn't cost you a dime. If the new year is here and you got to figure out a way to make it a better year for your team financially, the way to do it? Find out if HRP can save you a bunch. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance. Hi.
All right, what did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? So let's fill up the board, and when somebody gets off, you get in. I'll start, because I didn't know about them until this holiday season, but I am a big fan of Nate Bargatze. Bargatze.
He says Bargatze. There's no K at the end of it.
Bargatze.
It's Bargatze. Yeah.
Bargatze.
You know, I had him in studio at 790 and went to a show, talked to him afterwards. We got his phone number. And yeah, he's
Bargatze.
He was an awesome. The same way he is one of the most likable comedians I've ever seen. Yeah. And you know what it is? It's those eyes. It's those droopy eyes he has. And his comedy was, and he works very clean.
Very clean.
Very clean. But his comedy has been great for years and years. I'm kind of surprised he made it this big now.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. Lance, did you learn anything this holiday season?
You know, I learned that, I guess I'm just watching it right now, but I learned that I'll probably go down what started as me thinking, even though I never watched it, like, what is the big deal about this stupid Felicity stuff and Carrie Russell? And now after the Americans and the Diplomat and everything else she does, I'm just going to go. I will, when Gilbert kills me, I will go down as a huge Carrie, Carrie Russell fan. Yeah.
Was that a run-on sentence, Del?
Or I'm not sure.
You didn't see there was commas, there was semicolons.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that played out. I learned that despite it being 21 years old, Bad Santa remains my number one Christmas movie.
It's so good.
What is it?
Bad Santa?
Bad Santa.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We watched it, too. Laugh, laugh.
Did Charlie like it?
Laugh. Charlie loved it.
I felt bad because I was like, yeah, all the things that are being said, will never be said again in a movie. But, but I was laughing throughout the entire.
Laughing so hard. All right, 713-780-3776. What did you learn this holiday season in one sentence? Who's up?
We'll start with Tongue Dart Chris. What have you learned? Tongue Dart.
I learned that if you tried to work with your wife during a white elephant with her family, ooh, and someone opens their yappy little mouth and you tell them to shut the F up and keep their F and mouth closed,
wow,
drinks, fish, and food will be thrown.
Oh, my God. I want to hear more about that.
Wow, but you can't. You just got one sentence. That's all. How awesome is that? That is like the Bear. That's like Christmas at the Bear.
Sounds like Christmas with the show The Bear,
Yep. Who's next, Del?
Longhorn Scott, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that even though Cam Scataboo got Lance and Joe Tessitore feeling some kind of way, he's still going back to the desert with a big, fat, heavy L in his back pocket.
He did. He was great, though.
Yeah, the Longhorn Scots of the world. Here's what he said. Your boy Scatta Douche is about to get his ass whipped something fierce. Those MFers are mouthy as F. Dumb strategy. Also, Texas State held him to 2.9 yards, and then Texas didn't hold him to under 250 total yards.
Yeah.
So, Scott, you lost that one. Let it go.
Until overtime, he had more yards than the Longhorns had.
Yeah,
himself.
Enough. All I heard was that Cam Scatabo. I'd said something about it, that he was going to be the hardest player they've ever had to tackle. And Longhorn fans just, oh my God. Hey, guys, I didn't say you're going to get beat, which, frankly, you should have. But I didn't say you're going to get beat. I said he's going to be the hardest guy to tackle. And he was. And then I heard that he was going to get a mud hole stomped and look at this game against. And it's like people don't know that Arizona State actually got healthy in the second half of the season.
Well,
they became a better team in the second half of the season.
Except Jordan. I mean, if they had.
Well, their top wide receiver.
One of the best in the country.
A thousand-yard receiver didn't play.
Did you see that Colin Simmons at during halftime?
Oh, my God. Did you see that, John? At halftime, Scatabo had something where the sideline reporter said that he was really mad and said, I'm done with this, because he was mad at how the protection wasn't good for his quarterback and all this. And there was a screenshot, and Colin Simmons, the great young defensive end, literally posted at halftime on his Instagram a picture, and then he put a poo emoji. He put a caption about him. Like, you young guys have to stay the F off your freaking Instagrams. Please put your phone away during a game and don't post during halftime. That got David Mulgett is his agent. That got deleted. No, not before Barstool captured it, but that got deleted sometime in the mid-third quarter, by the way.
Wow.
From his Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Posting in the middle of the game. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Shut up and just play. Put your phone away, dude. This generation, you got to really post an Instagram post at halftime?
Who's next, Del?
Brandon, what have you learned?
I learned from the discourse on Twitter and ESPN and everywhere else that Cam Ward is a horrible and selfish teammate.
I did have an NFL exec tell me. I didn't even ask about it. He said, I'm not happy that Cam Ward decided to play one half and then quit the next half. He said, don't play, then don't play. Play, then play.
I don't personally care. He was going. He's chasing a record. Whatever.
And yeah.
He beat Case Keenum's record when Case played like 8 years.
His head coach didn't help him by not explicitly telling everyone what happened. If you missed it, Cam Ward.
Mario didn't seem to have his back.
Pop-Tarts Bowl. He played a half of football, led his team to 31 points. Of course, their defense stinks, so it was still a close game. They lose it in the second half because their backup can't throw a football. But the discourse was, did he opt out at the half? Or was that a decision made before the game to only play a half? And Mario Cristobal, being the meathead that he is, well, it's private. Discussions are private. We're not going to talk about it. So now there's speculation. As opposed to putting either laying on the grenade for Cam or telling everybody what the truth is, he decided to just leave it. So now the speculation began whether Cam Ward decided, I'm not going to play. I'm just not going to play in the second half. I made that decision at halftime. According to people around the program, that decision was made far before the game.
He wouldn't be the first. Johnny Manziel was opted out.
Well, Malik Nabers played only half to get a record, but it was known, it was talked about, and it was explained away, and now it's over. This thing will be something where Cam probably has to answer questions in the draft process, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and boy, am I glad that Ashton Jeanty didn't get Barry Sanders' record, because they didn't count Barry Sanders' bowl game. And they're counting Jeanty's.
His postseason. I know. And Saquon's not going to get. And by the way, we found out Saquon's not going to get Eric Dickerson's record, which, you know, it would have been 17 games versus 16.
Yeah,
but
right.
The Eagles said, you know what? We're not playing him. We're going to rest him.
Yep. Okay. Who's next, Del?
Larosa, what have you learned?
Good morning. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
I learned this New Year holiday that apparently if you let your hair grow out, I look like a Utah lineman that plays for Utah, a Samoan lineman, and also it doesn't matter how big you are and skinny you are, you can't eat 3 donuts in a minute with beer.
No.
You got your ass kicked, okay? He got his ass kicked by a 12-year-old eating donuts. I mean, it was a huge, huge upset. Huge upset. No one thought you
little
suck
kids
at eating.
Can eat donuts, though, bro.
No, I know.
Well, this was an adult male.
No one thought that La Raza would suck at eating. If you look at him, okay?
Yeah.
No one thought that.
You made that joke live in his face as
I
well.
I know, so I'm not afraid to say it.
No.
I'm not afraid of it. Who's next?
Chris, what did you learn?
I learned that the Longhorns eked out another win in spite of Sark, Ewers, the refs, and Bart the kicker.
Oh my God. Has there ever been a kicker more terrified of a big moment than this guy?
I've seen
him miss 4 short field goals. I saw him miss one against Alabama, and then it got brought. And then I think there was a penalty, and he got to kick it again. Is that what it was? Or remember the game against Alabama when Texas beat Alabama? No, Alabama beat Texas at Texas a couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, Bert, I remember him missing that one too.
Yeah.
Crusty the Carrot Top?
I mean, he has the most field goals in Texas history, and he's not even – Justin Tucker, kicker, Dicker the kicker. I mean, he's not even close to one of the best.
No.
Who's next, Del?
Ocho, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that the top 4 wide receivers in the NFL were all born in Louisiana.
Okay.
They can
Jefferson,
put out some wide receivers
Chase,
now.
Who are the other two?
Malik?
He's a top, you would consider him a top 4 wide receiver right now? Or is he just talking about yards? Is that what he's talking about, or just overall player?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe it's who you think is the best. I don't know. Who's next, Del?
That is all.
That's it?
Yes.
And we're up, we're done. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for playing our game. We really appreciate it, y'all. 713-780-3776. Now you can have more than one sentence. If you want to get in here to hang out with us, you are more than welcome to do that. Billy Brown was at the Christmas party. It was good to see him. He and Mary were both there. Had a lot of fun. Billy is awesome. We love Billy. We love what he does. We love what Billy does for our listeners. We love what Billy does for us. Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company, they you know what? They're bigger and better than they ever have been because they just do it right. Which starts at the top, Billy's company is going to give you a square deal They're knowledgeable. He hires just the vetting process is awfully important to him. They got his company name on guys that come into your home, Lance, mm-hmm. and do work.
Yeah, they
so
did.
They're going to be the best they can possibly be.
Well, we got a little thing. My wife knows. So we've got like, and this happens like every 3 years. There's a I don't know what it is, but we'll get a little bit of leaking in our shower. At the handle. And so I've got to call Billy Brand. His guys just came out and did a phenomenal job on three things we needed done. Got it done very quickly, perfectly, transparent with pricing. And now we're going to have them come out and do a very minor thing because I can do the minor things, but it's not going to get done right. Why would I do that? Why would I take that chance? I'm many things, a numbers guy, a pit master. I'm an IT guy sometimes, but I've decided I'm not a plumber. Billy Brown is the plumber. They make the Brown go down as they say. I didn't say they say that. And, they also have the small details. They will fix the small things for you as well. Big or small, it's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. They're the plumber you can trust. aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.